Greetings in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Overcomers.ca, The New Jerusalem, Chapter 62, Carrying On in the Paradise of the Lord. This is the 10th of 14 of them. Chapter 62, The Bulwarks. Scriptures. Psalm 48, verses 1 to 14. A song and psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. Selah means stop and think, stop and pray, stop and meditate. Verse 9, we have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that a righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 1 to 12. Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 to 27. And I saw no temple therein. Footnote: when John saw no temple therein, I like to think that he had his mouth wide open in astonishment, his breath suddenly taken from him as he in awe realizes that the New Jerusalem has no temple therein. End footnote. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Footnote again. I have a section of writings called the Open Temple. That's showing the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb as that temple. Not the temple according to what was given to Moses or Israel in the past, but the temple where the person of the Lord is the temple. End footnote. Starting again. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. End scriptures. Two visions. First vision. I beheld in man two doors. Both doors were within the body of man. In this body, as the two doors were set, both doors were open so that I could see into the inward parts of man. The first door was immediately below the flesh of man, and was the door which revealed the spirit of man, that core element of spirit by which man directed his will. It was this will which held within it the mystery of iniquity. For that mystery caused such a man to walk in self-will and thereby be defiled, even with the rebellion of Adam, who rebelled against the Lord and walked in the suggestion of his own self-will. Therefore, the spirit was defiled. Then inside the first door, and inside the spirit of man, was the second door. This door was just like the first door. However, this door was open to the soul of man, which soul the last Adam died to redeem and cleanse by his blood. This door of the soul held the seat of man's emotion and the character of his person, that yielded part of his nature, which is tied by death to this fallen natural earth. This too was defiled, for it held itself in a state of self-exaltation and self-righteousness apart from the Lord, and was defiled even worse than the first door and the spirit which was in man. So then the inner part of man was defiled and alive in this world, which is held under the curse of death because of Adam's transgression. And first vision. Second vision. I beheld then in man two trees amongst many other trees. These were the trees of the garden, wherein Adam had been placed to rejoice in it and to keep it. The trees were all of the Lord's original creation, and were elements of character of the person and of the image of the Lord by which man was created. My sight was directed, however, to two trees in the midst of man, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life in the midst of the innermost part of man. These two trees both flourished. The Lord was teaching each one in time to turn to the tree of life in the midst of their soul. End vision. End two visions. During the course of time, when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon this world, we will see much shaking in all the core elements of man's life in this world. Upon this earth in creation will this shaking take place, for the sole purpose of bringing mankind to the place where they will behold the Lord as the answer and hope for all nations. As this shaking takes place, elements of our society and structure will collapse and self-destruct along with every evil work. This collapse of the structure of man's world is a prelude to the revelation of the purpose of the Lord and for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Such manifestation will take place as sure as the promise of his election. Nothing will prevent it. It is going to happen, and every single person in this world will be affected by this, for it is the very next motion of our Creator as relates to this earthen creation. Every rock and every bit of soil and every element of the natural creation will become completely new during the course of this shaking that is taking place. All the elements that were originally made by God in the beginning of time will find themselves made new. Their age will be swallowed up into this new creation that God is going to bring forth. This shaking is also to be known as part of that which no man completely understands. No man can set a watch by this or schedule a time frame for this to happen, nor can man denote or estimate the time of the coming of the Lord, or the manifestation of the sons of God, or the full revelation of the kingdom of God upon this earth. No prophet can give you a time frame. No teacher can predict the outcome other than the fact that the Lord himself will be that desire of all nations, which will be seen in his glory at the end of the shaking process. But how long this will happen has not been given to any man, angel, or person at any time. There is, however, one thing that is given to us now at this time, and in this we can have full understanding. Know even as we are known, and be seen for what it is, and that is the full knowledge of his will to those who have ears to hear. The Lord is revealing the bulwarks of the New Jerusalem, those barriers before the walls, the steepened slopes by which no one can ascend to touch the walls if there be anything in them that is defiled or of this present world filled up with the knowledge of good and evil. The bulwarks are the steep slopes prior to the walls of the city, those embankments which one would need to climb in order to view the purposes of the Lord for this hour. It is these bulwarks that are right now causing his church, his company of overcomers, to be judged. And these bulwarks will stop anything from approaching his city that is defiled or unclean or new age or otherwise. For you cannot enter the things of the Lord for this hour or be part of his great unveiling if you are defiled by deception or wrong doctrine or anything that itches the ears. These bulwarks defend the city. They keep out of it anything that is not written in the book of the life of the Lamb. They hold testament that only that which is holy in the holiness of the Lord can enter any further. All else is self-exalting and aggrandizing and is based on false prophecy or doctrine. The common element in man in this day we are in is a lukewarm response to the things of the Lord. A lukewarm response to the things of the Lord. A common taint is ours to share, and that is that we think that no matter what we believe or what we do, we will still inherit the promises. We will still be part of the glorification process of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Not so. For defilement can follow you if you cease from your daily task of self-denial. In fact, the only religious exercise you should do is self-denial. That same self-denial which makes my words sound like a broken record. But that is the daily taking up of your cross to deny your life in this world. The manifestation of the sons and daughters of God is the same as the first resurrection. They are not separate, but are in fact the same. And you cannot be part of the first resurrection if you are still defiled with the world. If the bulwarks of the city of the Lord hold testament against your walk, you will not be part of what the Lord is first about to do. The very thing the Lord is judging in those that would overcome is false assumptions. Again, the very thing the Lord is judging in those that would overcome is false assumptions. Those things and elements which give sway to the invention and discovery of false doctrine. I cannot warn anyone of this enough. It is the element of our day that false assumptions create lukewarmness, and lukewarmness will never give you the righteous standard needed to ascend into the fullness of the Lord at his appearing. The myriad of doctrines we have in this hour have robbed the people of the Lord from that simplicity that is in Christ. And I say to you, the reader, that this myriad of doctrines that has assailed us have come because of false assumptions. The Lord is shaking this to the very core. And those who are falling away are manifesting doctrines which tickle the ears and which place mankind into their same belief system. This belief system makes all who listen become lukewarm also, so much so that they love nothing else, and doctrines are invented and maintained out of a love for this laid-back walk which costs one nothing. The sharing of the fellowship of his suffering is not known by these, and it is by these that many will fall short of the first resurrection. Why? Because they will not have obeyed that doctrine first delivered to us in the Scriptures, that doctrine which once again will bring you to the denial of your self and to take up your cross to follow Jesus. I have seen that every single doctrine that places a believer up where the Lord alone is exalted has this taint within it. In the early part of this very year, I had a vision of two timelines, one straight and one true, the other crooked and cloudy, which came to an explosive end during the course of the year. I will quote part of the vision here. Quote, I beheld a silver line across the sky above me. The silver line was smooth and straight with no imperfection, bright in silver color and very straight and true. I could see that extended to the left from the foundation of the creation of the world, and to the right it extended into a space that was beyond my eyesight. I knew that this was a timeline of the Spirit in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Running parallel below this line was a second line, a swirling trail of brown cloud, thick and dirty. This cloud started in Eden, on the left, in the heart of Adam, and extended through history and ran completely parallel with the silver line. However, it was not straight, but very crooked. I noticed that at key periods of history, this line would dip and thicken where iniquity increased in the earth. I saw the brown line of cloud extend through the main kingdoms in history gone by, the crucifixion of Jesus, wars of various kinds, and the wars in our recent history. And then I saw it come to an explosive end. The explosive end of this line was a greater measure of thickness and of the increase of iniquity unlike any other area in history before it. The explosion of this line was as if it ran into an invisible wall. He who has ears to hear, let him hear this. The line exploded and ended in the Lord's chosen time on that day. End quote. About 2 weeks later after this vision, the Lord said to me that the timeline explosion had already taken place. Looking around in the newscasts and in the world in general, I did not see any nuclear explosion, any torrential storm that caused worldwide destruction. Iniquity was still rampant. The mystery of iniquity was still revealing that perdition which loves to deceive. There was nothing that could suggest to me that the world as we see it now had suddenly changed direction. The manifestation of the sons of God had not taken place, and the New Jerusalem was not seen settling somewhere on the dust of the earth. So what did the Lord mean when he said that this had already happened? My steadfast belief is that the Lord has counted the final number for those whom he has chosen to be part of the army of the Lord that will be manifested at his appearing. For those who have borne faithfully their crosses and who have not fallen into this lukewarm assumption about the purposes of the Lord for this day, we are in. The exploding timeline against that invisible wall is clear to me now. The wall was the Lord himself cutting off from his purposes those who will not repent of their iniquitous doctrines, those who itch the ears and who take God's word and water it down to a supple conclusion rather than the seriousness of this day we live in. If you think that everyone will be part of what the Lord is about to do, you are right. Everyone will be part of it, but not everyone will be manifested in a glorified body. Only they who have been part of this explosion will he manifest to carry his unlimited fullness. Everyone else will be affected by it, for this present world order will end at the time of this manifestation. Those who held on to these false assumptions and lukewarm doctrines will suffer the loss of those very same doctrines. These things will fail when the crunch time comes, when the shaking tears apart their belief system, and only the holiness of the Lord and of his city remains. The bulwarks rise in testament against these who hold such things dear and as truth. They will not enter the city with such defilement upon them. The purpose of the Lord is to restore all things, but it will be done in order, not by assumption, but by the spirit of burning, not by self-aggrandizing doctrines, but by the simple exaltation of Jesus Christ himself alone. And the Lord will not manifest large masses of people to do this, but only a very small core of humanity, a small company, a little stone cut out of the mountain. This will be so that all men in all generations and for all time will know that the Lord is the one doing this, not men. His great love, not man's choice. Some are going to accuse me now of many things in regard to this. It matters not. The purpose of the Lord is still sure. The Lord himself will be that anointing which will teach every man and admonish every man and bring every man to perfection in Christ. The things leading up to that are only temporary, only for a time. They are not permanent, but they pass on by as time marches on. Each one will come into the full knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is the final outcome of all that happens from now until that time. The Lord is the restorer of all that has fallen away from himself. He will bring all men into the holiness of his city, which is his body, his fullness, which will in time fill all in all. The stage is set for this, and yet one thing at a time will be brought into the play. The end result will be a completely redeemed humanity, with the mystery of iniquity being completed and done in each and every one. The timeline of the Lord's purposes continue to move forward, and that which remains is perfect and entire and in need of nothing. That is what we have received for this day. May the Lord hasten it in his time. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.